Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to talk with you about being all in. You see, I met a lady and her name was Mamie, and she was all in. And I'm thankful I can say that about other individuals. But the story that I want to talk with you about this morning is just this whole challenge of being all in. And I would say, like Mamie, but there's some of you that are actually in that same place where you've completely turned over everything you are, the essence of who you are, to Jesus Christ. And there's one scripture that I want to teach from this morning. And then I want to talk with you a little bit about what surrounds this scripture, and then I'll let you go. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to read from the Message Bible. And I don't normally teach from the Message Bible, but I want to read this to you. Deuteronomy, I'm going to read both to you, actually, the Message Bible and the NIV. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that is in you, and love Him with all you got. Say, all I got. All I got. And in the NIV, it just simply says this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. He goes on to say, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk with them when you sit at your home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, everything about you, be consumed with Him. This scripture also teaches that up in verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel. And by the way, that's a reference to God's people. You understand that? You and I have been adopted into the vine. We're part of Israel. We're part of the adoption process of Jesus Christ through the blood that at the cross 2,000 years ago. He says, Hear, O Israel. And so I'm going to change it to, Hear, all believers, this message. The Lord our God is one. And what that means is not just the Lord God is one, as in Trinity or non-Trinity. That's not what it's talking about. You break that scripture down in the Greek and in the Hebrew, rather in the Hebrew, you break that down, what it's saying is He is to be number one in your life. He is to be the only one in your life. Because let me tell you something. Let me just jump here and say this. I love this old tale that we used to tell. God has to be number one, then your family number two, and your job number three, or your church number three, and your job number four. I'm going to tell you what, that is not scriptural. Find that for me. What's scriptural is He is to be number one. And when God is number one, everything else falls right where it should be. The love of your family. You're going to tell you something? If God is number one, your wife will never feel like she's number two. You understand that? When we are living that God is number one, your husband will never feel like he is number two. Because there is no number two. There is a number one. And His name is Jehovah God. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He is Yahweh. He is the Christ, the second person of the Trinity. He is the Christ. And He is number one. When number one is right in our hearts, you'll have your arm around that girl and you're going to treat her like she's a prize in your life. And you're not going to have to be convinced that she ought to be treated like she's number two. And she'll never feel like she's number two. She'll never wonder where she stands with you. I'll say it that way. And your children will never have to wonder if mom and dad have God as number one in their homes. They'll never have to wonder where they stand, because mom and dad will love them like no other. They will adore those kids. They will adore those children. They'll adore those grandchildren and the grandchildren. I tell you what, Mamie's great-grandchildren even knew that God was number one in Fred and Mamie's life. It was never just Mamie. It was always Fred and Mamie. Wherever Mamie was, Fred was. You know what? He even went to the women's ministry stuff that she led. and y'all won't let me. That was a jab. I'm just playfully. Fred went everywhere with Mamie because Mamie was his bride. She never had to guess who she was or where she stood with Fred, because Fred loved God, still does, love God with all of your heart. Listen to what, I want to break this down. If you take notes, take notes. Hear this, O Israel. Now this is Moses talking to the people of Israel. The Lord God is one. Now you'd think that they'd say, and what he's challenging him is, be all in. Be all in. I mean, seriously, just a couple chapters before, we see that he actually, in chapter 5, gave the Ten Commandments to Moses to give to the people. And you'd think, by the way, after all they went through in years of captivity, approximately 400 years of captivity in Egypt, you would think, we're all in. You know, however many few million of the Jews that are out in the middle of the desert and food's fallen from heaven, and are they all in? No. They're complaining because they're sick of the steak. They're sick of the food that God is providing. They're complaining about the chef. They're not all in. They want to have something to say. In fact, I think we'll go ahead and create some idols to worship. That God's failed us. He put us out here in the desert. We were better off back there. Oh my God. You wouldn't you think they would be all in when they've seen the sea part? You know, I'm following the guy with the shaft, by the way. I'm following the guy with the staff. That little staff of his, it's a pretty wicked staff. We've seen it separate. We've seen it provide water for us in the desert. We've seen it provide a passageway. And we also watched him raise it back. And the power of God through Moses killed Pharaoh and his army. That, by the way, if it didn't close on him, we're going to kill Moses and his people. Yet, are they all in? They're hardly all in. And so my point is, wouldn't you think Moses wouldn't have to say this stuff? Wouldn't you think God wouldn't have to say this to the people who should be all in? If I don't know, maybe it's the humanity in us, but there's something about what have you done for me lately is not a new concept. What have you done for me lately? Convince me. It's like when we walk in here on Sunday mornings. God bless Pastor Mike and the worship team. All you guys, Mark, you guys are up there just worshiping God. And some of us walk in kind of like, well, we'll get out of here in time to get the kickoff, you know. Somebody say, oh my God. We'll get out of here in time, you know. We'll make sure, by the way, I'll make sure you get out. There's nobody more committed to getting you out of here than me. And I'm not in a hurry to do that. But the truth is, seriously, we walk in sometimes and we have to decide if we get in the mood to worship God. I want to ask you, are we really all in? Are we all in? I just want you to take some notes here in this. It says in verse 5, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Stop. Just for a minute. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You know what God's referring to there? Your passion. It's the things you're passionate about. Man, what I want you to be, don't tell me you could look at your husband and say, I don't really care if you're passionate about me, baby. I'm serious. I don't care if we've been married 38 years and she's still my baby. Sometimes she wants to clobber me really good. Sometimes I hear the voice of God through Gina reminding me of certain things. And that's a good thing. Did you know that that Jesus himself sounds like Gina a lot? I said this now 3 Sundays. Isn't she intimidating? Remember the jeweler I told you said she's intimidating? Think about this. He's saying, I want you to love me with all of your heart. The things you are passionate about, I want to be number one. Remember what he said in verse 4? The Lord God is to be number one. He is to be our number one passion. When our number one passion is God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the creator of the universe, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, when he is number one, everything else falls beautifully in line because you don't have to worry about number two. You get that? He wants to be the number one passion of your heart. And I would just simply ask you, are you all in on that? Are you so in love with God? Yeah, true. But going back to, he said, I want to be your number one passion. Now he goes on to say, so if you're writing things down, when he says, love the Lord dear God with all of your heart, he means he wants to be your number one passion. He goes on to say, and with all of your soul. Now I want you to know, your soul is the identity of who you are. He wants us to have a focused identity of the fact that we are children of God. With all of your soul, our soul is linked to the Spirit of the living God living in us, and He dwells within us, and we find our identity as the people of God. Now Moses was calling them the people of Israel, but he wanted you to know, find your identity. Love the Lord with God of your heart, your passion, and with all of your soul, and with all of your identity. I am a Christian first. I am a follower of Christ first and foremost. So I have had people say, well, don't you think I can be a Republican and a Christian at the same time? Never had anybody say, can I be a Democrat and a Christian at the same time? Never had anybody ask me that. Only Christians who are Republican conservatives have ever asked that question. And I want to know, why do you care? I'm not being crazy. I can speak politics as well as anybody. I'm not ignorant of it. I can have a whole conversation, which I did when I was in Panama last time. Had a young man say, Barry, I have to ask you this question. This was at dinner. What do you think of Trump? I said, I don't. He said, what do you mean you don't? How can you ignore him? I said, I didn't ignore him. I never said I ignored him. I just give more attention and focus to Christ. Jesus said this. I didn't say this. I did not write this. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Do you know I was the most passionate Republican in St. Charles County at one time? I had the county executive asking me when I would let him endorse me for a state representative position. Now that's the truth. I was back at First Assembly of God in St. Charles, and he was always trying to convince me to run for a state rep. And I'm like, I attended the Lincoln Days. You ever been to the Lincoln Days? I sang at the Lincoln Days. Never want to do that again. Don't ever sing the Star Spangled Banner. It's the hardest song in the world. Thank God I knew the words. But what God is saying is that He wants us to be number one. And seriously, our identity is to be found in Him, not Him and conservative biblical values that we preach on the earth because we are good Republicans. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't write this. This is what God's word says. A man can't serve two masters at one time. Do you know part of politics, this whole thing is, it's become a slam the other world. Slam somebody. Defame them. Defame them. Take them down personally. Take them under as far as you can go. Godly men and women are sucked into the argument all the time, whether it's Fox News or some of the other conservative stations. Godly men and women are sucked in. And by the way, there are godly men and women that are Democrats. Let me break it to you. Newsflash. Jesus is not a Republican. He's God. Hello? Government rests on His shoulders. He doesn't need endorsements. He's in charge. He is God. And I do feel the pain. I used to be. And if you wanted to ask me what my leanings are, I go with what God's word says. If God's word says, thou shalt not, that's what I go with. If God's word says, love the Lord, thou shalt love the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, and your everything that's in you, that's what I teach. Now, if that's conservative, you can label it. But my label is, I refuse to be, Jean and I came to this point, we refuse to be labeled. When Tony went back, you remember Tony and Navenka? When Tony went back to Panama, and they actually called about a week later, we told them all about you and our church there in St. Charles, at St. Charles River Church. We told our parents all about you, and they're really afraid you're a cult. I said, well, why, what'd you tell them? You know, what'd you tell them? I got snakes in the auditorium. Or what'd you tell them? No. I told them, you said you're not Catholic. I said, that's not what I said. I said, I'm not Roman Catholic. Because we're all Catholic. By definition, the word Catholic just means universal church. Anybody know that? Anybody know that's what it actually means, the universal church? I said, we're all Catholic if we know Jesus. He says, see, you confuse me. He says, you say you're not a Protestant. I said, that's right. But you say you're not Roman Catholic. I said, that's right. I'm a follower of Jesus. Just tell them we're followers of Jesus. Well, that's what confuses them. I said, that's because people have to have labels to go, okay, you're this, so I understand where you come from. Well, why can't we just be Jesus followers? Follow that. Because, and so in this conversation of this young man when I was last down there, he said, you really don't talk about Trump. I said, I don't waste my time talking that stuff because I got something better to talk with you about. And he said, what? I said, can I talk with you about Christ? Because promise you, he knows your name. He knows your name. He loves you. He cares about you. Do you think Trump loves you and cares about you? He said, well, that guy, I said, well, he may be all those things you just said. I don't know. I don't know him. But I do know this. My kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus said, I can't serve two masters at one time. So I'm not about this world's stuff. And believe me, I have opinions just like you, and I have to shove them down all the time. I do. I have to shove them down because when I hear stuff, it just, the flesh wants to rise up and explode and call it insane and this and that. But you know something? I've never won anyone to Jesus Christ after I've insulted them. I never have. Some people call that watered down gospel. Oh, really? Jesus. You need Jesus. How is that watered down? How is that? What they're mad is that I won't stand up here and preach the top five Republican conservative talking points. You know, Paul talked about, and this isn't even in the message, but listen, Paul talked about preaching to itching ears. There are people in the church who understand that to be the world's itching ears. Tell them it's okay to be this. Tell them it's okay to do these things. Tell them it's all right to have these types of things in our lives. And by the way, according to which church you go to, the rules change. Right? I mean, some churches say if you go to an R-rated movie, you cannot know Jesus. Other churches say, well, if you're a little more selective and you just rent it when you're home, at least you're a good Jesus follower. I mean, the rules change according to the church you go to. It's ludicrous. I know, it's insane. But the reality is, I'm going to come back to this. The reality is, Jesus is the issue. He is number one. No other gods before me. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me, period. Now I want to go ahead and, I was going to make a point, but I'm not going to. I'm going to hop back in this. I want to finish this up. These commandments, he says, yeah, right before he says that, he says, and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Your strength, listen to this, with all of your, it's your willpower of choices. The first one, love the Lord God with all of your heart. That's all your passions. Make sure I'm number one with all of your heart. I want to be your number one passion with all of your soul. Make sure I am your number one identity. The Lord God verse 4, the Lord God is one. He's to be number one. Find your identity in me. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, I don't share it. No one sits on the throne next to Jesus, not even good conservative Republicanism and or whatever it is that your Democratism that you are or neutral party, whatever you are. No. Your identity is Jesus and the cross. If you find any other identity than Jesus and the cross, come talk to me because we need to talk about who else is sitting on the throne other than Christ. And the third, he says, and with all of your strength, it's the willpower that he's referring to. It's the inner soul, the inner choices that we make. With all the choices that you make, with all the will that's within you, like we talked about Joseph a couple of weeks ago, he made a choice that before Potiphar's wife ever makes another play on him, if she ever grabs him, he made a choice of holiness before the temptation came. He made that, we know that, because she had flirted with him in the past. And everything, he loved the Lord God that day with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength, or his choices. His willpower was already devoted in total love and consecration to a holy walk with God. And when that girl touches me, no matter who she is or how good she looks, and she did, my choice, my strength, all the strength in me is pulling for righteousness. And that's the point that Moses was making to the people. Y'all aren't in yet. Because he was having to give the instruction to people who had just seen the miraculous. And I'll close it with this. Is that surprising? Just a couple thousand years after that. Is it so surprising? Jesus, when he was alive on the earth, same issue. Jesus is abiding with the disciples for 3 years. Feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children took place. Jesus said, let's get in the boat. They get in the boat and they start, he said, let's go find a place of rest. And they start to cross, as they're crossing, Jesus falls asleep and the winds start to blow and the waves start to blow and the storm is raging and they're screaming, we're going to die. We're going to die. And then they start waking Jesus up. If you don't get up, we're going to die. Do you remember? In another scripture, Jesus actually made the statement, how long am I going to have to be with you people? Basically, let me finish the sentence, till you get it. So he gets up in a boat and he said, peace. What was the rest of the words, Eric? Be still. That's right. What those guys say? Who are we in the boat with? Who is this guy that the winds and waves obey him? Can you imagine Jesus looking back at that? He knew what they said. I want to ask you this morning. Do you know the Creator? Do you know the great baptizer? Do you know the soon coming King? Because He wants you to know Him in a way you've never known Him before. I want you to bow your heads with me just for a moment. You see, God wants all in. He doesn't want half in. He wants everything about you in, all that is within you, all that you have, all of your possessions, He wants dedicated to Him, committed to Him, number one. And it doesn't have to, it's not just about resources, not just about money. It's everything. You cannot buy your way into heaven. And so everybody get that really clear. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot do enough earthly works on this earth. You cannot feed enough children around the world to earn heaven. Because the Bible says the only way we make it to heaven is through the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when we know Him and we are all in, people will know. This is what God's Word says. They'll know us by the way we love one another. We will be so different. I want to ask you, no one's looking around, just for a moment. I want to just simply ask you this question. Do you want to say this morning, Barry, I haven't necessarily been all in, but I want to be all in this morning. As of this morning, I want to completely commit my life to Jesus Christ. It's not about being more religious, but it is about loving Him with all of my passion and with all of my identity. And with all of my willpower of choice, I want to be all in. If that's you, raise your hand quickly. I'm going to pray with you right where you stand. Yes, or sit. If that's you, raise your hand quickly. I see one hand already. If that's you, yes. I see another hand. Three, yes. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to be all in this morning. I have actually been in church. I know who He is. I have walked with Him, but I don't know that I've ever really been all in. And if I have, I'm not today, but I'm saying from today on, I want to be all in for Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise it quickly. Yes. And a fourth hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Quickly. I'm going to pray with you right where you sit or where you stand, if that's you. Okay. Everybody stand with me just for a moment. Everybody stand if you would. Heavenly Father, I want to ask You, before I ask those who raise their hands, everyone to pray with me. I want to ask You, God, that You would enlighten us to Your presence. Enlighten us to who You really are. Enlighten us to what it means to love You with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our strength. God, teach us, enlighten us in a way that we can truly grasp just a portion of that today, and then just a continual revelation of loving You more passionately every day and finding more identity in You every day, and then making choices out of that identity that truly express that You are number one in my life. Good choices. Choices that heaven stands and applauds when those choices are made. Like I'm sure heaven did when Joseph made the right choice with Potiphar's wife. I ask You, God, teach us to be the Potiphar's. Teach us to be the Mamie's who would, by the way, humbly say of herself, I am no one to model your life after. And I'm quite sure Joseph would say that too. I'm sure the Moses of the world would say that also. But Lord, we want to model ourselves well after you. Teach us to do this. Bring that revelation. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I want everybody to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, today I ask you to forgive me for half-hearted, half-willed, and half-identity approach to you. But today, I'm making a choice to love you with all of my heart, to love you with all of my might, and all of my strength. In Jesus' name, I'm committing my life to you completely and wholly today. In Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. You may have a seat.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.